Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright.
We have tonight's guest, research psychologist, therapist, and author of Life Begins at 60, Dr. Frida Birnbaum.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, George Carpacitas. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am looking forward to this conversation. I really like guests that inspire me to think about my life and to think about my future life, for that matter, and my present life. So here's an example. So today we're going to be talking about relationships. And in a conversation with our guest, I was reminded of years ago, I had friends convince me to get on a dating app. And nothing wrong with that. It just wasn't my thing, but I did it. And of course, one of the first things one has to do on a dating app is make a profile and then write about oneself. So I reluctantly started to write about myself, and pretty soon I really got into it and I liked what I was writing. I liked myself. And It was not long after having finished what I wrote and amended it and changed it a little bit, tweaked it, and I sounded so amazing. And not that I don't feel like I'm amazing in my own way, but I wasn't as amazing as the guy that I was writing about. So, and I was thinking, okay, so what is that? Like, what just happened? Like, am I lying? And no, I really felt like that guy. But day in and day out, I work a lot. I spend a lot of time by myself. And I'm okay with that. And I'm like, well, but you can't write that. Or can you? So there was this interesting dialogue I was having with myself. And eventually, soon after, I took it down. And I thought, how interesting. So if I'm going through that, would somebody else just leave that up saying like, this is who I am. This is what I do all the time. I'm at the beach. I'm partying. I don't know. Maybe. And so are they lying? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, we all want to put our best foot forward, but it got me thinking. I was thinking, that's not how I want to start a friendship or a relationship, is by lying or by not presenting who I am. And so it's interesting how that's just getting attracted to somebody. That's just like just the first potential meeting. But after one is dating somebody and then decides to be in a committed relationship or get married, then how much more important is it that each of the people know each other and know themselves, actually, and know so many things? And I've never thought about it in the way that our guest talks about it. She talks about emotional prenups. We're going to get to that in just a minute.
Powerful, powerful discussion today, boy. But I got a question, Filippo. Was I lying when I muffed our performance guest's name in the intro?
A burn bomb? No, I'm sure it was perfect.
Our past at this. So, George, my apologies, but we are so excited to have both Frida and George here. And yeah, it's such a powerful topic of discussion today. I think more and more people in these tense times could really use these tools. So very much looking forward to tonight.
Absolutely. So we're excited. Our guest has done so much, actually, and there's so much we could talk about. But today we're focusing on her number one tip to preventing divorce. She's a research psychologist, a psychoanalytic therapist, a seasoned media commentator, and author of Life Begins at 60. Welcome, Dr. Frida Birnbaum, to the Life Changes Show.
Right way to pronounce my name, I want you to know. That's good. So we're getting on to a good start here.
We're getting to know each other.
Yes, absolutely. And Filippo is a great name as well. That's unusual. You don't hear that name, which is nice. It's refreshing. But since we're not talking about names and we're talking about what it means to have a prenup, and I always wondered, why is it that people begin a relationship with looking at the end of the relationship? How about in between, you know, till death do us part? What does that mean? What are we doing before that? Hopefully something. What direction do we go into? So I always thought that wouldn't it be the right thing to do to have an emotional prenup, something with your mental feelings, your connectedness with one another, to prevent divorce from happening altogether? You know, there are 50% of us, not me, I've been married a long time, not easy, but I've been married a long time, end up in divorce. 50% of the American population who are married, you have to be married first, end up in a divorce. So I said to myself, you know, I would like to change those statistics. And it's really not about doing therapy. Therapy is a couple who comes in, who are having difficulties, and yet those difficulties are really scarred by other events and other things. And there's just piles and piles of problems coming all the way from their childhood that they bring in with them. And we can't really look to our partner for what happened to us during our childhood, because our partner is really clueless, becomes victimized unnecessarily. Mm. During the romantic stage, it's wonderful. That person could do no harm, but he needs a break, or she needs a break after a while. You know, how much neutrality can you have after a while? It's like, okay, this is not something I'm responsible for. So that's really what I'm trying to do, is to reduce the statistics of divorce in a marriage. And I'm actually pitching for a show of the emotional prenup, which, you know, happily ever after ? What are we doing? What are we getting into? And are we getting into the wrong situation? Marriage does not necessarily mean you're happy. It does not necessarily mean that if you're divorced, you're doing the wrong thing. Sometimes we're just with the wrong people. So it's how to find the right people. But research has shown that married couples are happier. So what can I tell you?
Well, you jumped right in, and I appreciate that. And you said that we think of the end of the relationship, what can I get? So you're referring to what most people think is a prenup, right?
Yes. So that's the end of the relationship. When the relationship is over, it's okay, what's in it for me? Well, how about seeing what's in it for you if you stick it out? There's always going to be problems. How do you solve those problems? How do you meet those challenges? And how do you make those changes? Because you can swap one person for something even worse. Why not work with what you have? Isn't that what marriage is all about? Commitment, being authentic to the situation, and being there and responsible for the other person. You get a lot for that. And that takes a mature person, of course. But there's two people giving to one another, and you have to give to receive. And the best feeling is giving. I mean, the research has shown that also, that if you give, your heart beats differently, you feel better. Mm. So if you're doing it for that reason, well, it's not the best of reasons, but it does help you in that area too. So there's so much to be said about what to look for in a relationship and what that means to continue. Roles have changed. Times have changed. Marriage relationships were much simpler. Role playing was much simpler. Women stayed home, men went to work. That's it. My mother used to say, a man is like a broom at the door. I mean, this is how I was brought up. I don't know how I got all this knowledge, but my knowledge from my parents was very basic. It's better to have one than not. Well, maybe she needed a broom, but today need that.
So what does that mean? A man is like a broom at the door.
Poor guys, I'm telling you, my mother used to say, why are people coming to see you anyway? She'd want to come in too and be part of the discussion. But what are they complaining about? They have food on the table. They have a roof over their head. What's their problem? Mm. But, you know, we've evolved to a place that we want much more than that. We want to have certain standards, It's not role playing the way you used to be, or double standards the way it used to be. Women are working. Men often want to stay home and be nurturing if they do have children. And the questions are, for women, do you want to work and have children, or one or the other? It gets complicated. Or what do you want first? Do you want a relationship first or a career first? Women have struggled with that for a long time. Men have been able to do both. Women have been thought of selfish if they worked or had a career and had children. Yet the marriages of these career women have been much better because they are respected at home. It trickles down from work. So their social decisions, their emotional decisions are respected. So getting back to this original prenup, it is a different way of looking of what the expectations are from each other, because we've really evolved and we do want more.
I get the sense that one of the questions you just rhetorically asked and then answered is actually one of the key questions. You said, isn't that what relationships are all about? And then you went on to share what relationships are all about to you. And I happen to agree with you. Wouldn't that be a good question I'm asking the audience to see if our potential spouses or mates feel the same way about relationship, right, Dr. Frieda?
Absolutely. And that's where the problem is. You're absolutely right. Because we assume that they want the same thing. Do they want to be monogamous? Are they alcoholics? Do they have secrets? Are they still seeing their ex in some way? Are they going to continue to see their single friends? Things that we assume when we get married don't always pertain to the other person. So you're right, we have to look at both. It's a back and forth relationship. It can't be one-sided. And then when you know these things ahead of time, it does prevent a lot of conflict. And it also may prevent going further in the relationship. If you believe in monogamy and the other person says, I could never dream of being with one person the rest of my life, well, there's a hint right there that things may not work for you.
Mm. Now, you mentioned maturity. It sounds like a mature person that would know these answers about themselves and a mature relationship that people could actually talk about these things. You said some biggies. Is he going to be in a relationship outside the relationship? Is he going to be in a relationship with his ex or other single women? For example, if you know what I'm saying, that's
yeah. Is he an alcoholic?
Is he an alcoholic? Right. How many people are going to right off the bat say, oh yeah, by the way?
Not too many. You know, when you're talking about the profile that you discussed on the social media sites,
yeah,
of course not. You know, you felt good. You felt pumped up. You know, you said all these wonderful things. That's me. Wow. I must be special. You know, the sad thing is everybody feels that way. So you know what? They're too good for anybody that comes on. I'm special. You're not. Bang, they go to the next person and the next person. And, you know, they hook up and whatever they do. But why bother if I can get somebody just the click of a button here who thinks they're just as great as me, but I know I'm greater. You know, I want to share a quick story with you. I have a patient who, you know, on the internet went to meet this girl. And, you know, this is typical, by the way. In comes this woman, 10 years older, shorter, fatter, and he's into his bodybuilding, a little superficial to be quite honest with you. He excused himself from the table and never came back. I was so disturbed. I said, this is a patient that's supposed to be coming to me for years and supposed to be healthy, and this is what he does. But yes, there's a lot of superficial aspects to getting to know each other on that level. So why not be honest? Instead of women especially have difficulty, men have more of a range and there are less men available. So instead of lying about your age, women look fantastic today because they don't want to be limited to who they meet. Want to tell the truth. I'm 40, I look 30, and I'd like to be with somebody who's 30. That's the truth. Now, you're going to weed out a lot of people, but at least you'll have a chance instead of being someone who's discovered not telling the truth. So we need to start on that level of saying what it is. If religion is important, you have to know that you can't be with somebody who smokes, let's say. Seeing your in-laws, how often do you want to see them? Maybe you never want to see them. You better tell that person. And another thing that's very important is how you relate with each other. Because when you have conflict, and you'll have conflict, let me tell you, you'll really try to get at each other in some way that can feel damaging. You're discussing, as I said to you before the show here, you know, you look just like your mother, you act just like your mother, and the other person says, how dare you, and throws something at the at who's telling this. That really hits. That it's really painful. And so when we are emotionally involved, we're hurt more than anybody else could hurt us. So fighting and the conflict can really continue in the relationship as part of that relationship and becomes a normal part. So you have to be very careful about what it is that's important to you and lay the groundwork. If money is something that you save or spend, or if you buy a house or you want to go on vacation, how do you want to use that? Because that's a big premise why divorces occur over money. And so we have to be able to discuss the underpinnings of what is going to happen. Couples don't really know what to expect. They go to therapy when there are things happening already, when they're already bitter. And the worst couples are the ones that they don't even hear what I'm saying. They just want to find fault with the other person. I just had somebody in the other day, and no matter what I said, now it's your turn, to her husband. And she wouldn't stop going ahead and trying to badger him on a continuum. So they're already at that place. You have to be careful. One thing that's very important is to listen to the other person and to compromise. That's part of being in a relationship. And then go ahead and know what works. It's not whether you're right or wrong. I mean, leave your ego out and just sit there and say, how can we make this work? Sometimes a situation is more important to one person than the other. And giving in is part of that as well. As a couple, you're in it together. So there are two parts of a relationship. One is each person needs to have independence and space to be creative in their own way and bring that excitement together. That's two individuals, unlike the past, as I said, when the woman stayed home and the man brought the excitement into the home. And that could be depleting for the man, too, to have that kind of responsibility. And the other is to know that that person that's with you, if they're hurting, if they need something, if something feels unimportant, but it's important to that person, to go ahead and make that relationship as if it's part of who you are. It's very important, those two things.
You've given so much more than your number one tip to preventing divorce.
Well, I warned you.
Well, thank you, I should say. And there's going to be more. When we come back, we'll touch again on the emotional prenups and talk about whether this is a legal document or not. But in the meantime, drfrieda.com is where you can learn more about our guest and also on the Life Changes Show website page for her. But Dr. Frieda is drfrieda.com. So we'll be back with more from Dr. Frieda, and our Ask Dorothy segment follows soon after Dr. Frieda, or immediately after, and then soon after we have our performance guest. My turn to say his name. I wrote it down phonetically, George Karpasitis. And so all of that when we come back here on the Life Changes Show, live online right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and what a conversation. Our guest is a research psychologist, a psychoanalytic therapist, a seasoned media commentator, and author of Life Begins at 60, and that's a whole other conversation. We are talking about emotional prenups and her tips to preventing divorce. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, it's interesting. Here's an interesting analogy. You and I were having the phone disconnect during our conversation, something awful earlier today. It happened, I don't know, at least six times. And every time you would say something funny and we would laugh and then we move on. And you would say something like, tired of me already, or something like that. You don't want me on the show anymore, or something like that. And you know, because we both knew, here's the analogy that I'm making on the fly, but because we both knew we were committed to this and that we actually were getting something out of this, those comments, they're funny. It's like, what am I getting at? We were confident in that relationship we're having. Does that make sense? And
yes,
we talked about it before.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that, first of all, the topic and, the rapport we had with each other, you know, everything's about relationships. Even more than the topic, it's the way we interact and how you pick up what I'm saying. And the stories that we tell each other that reminds us of certain incidences, that's really what life is all about anyway. The experiences we have are much more valuable. But then we connect to some of the things that we talk about. And that's what happened with us, that we were going, and I felt I was keeping you too long. So I said, this guy wants to get off the phone already. Get the hell out of there already. Stop it.
And so what I'm thinking if somebody knows ahead of time, you know, sometimes when I get upset, I withdraw, or I hang up the phone, but I don't mean it. Or, you know, then one could reflect and say, this is what's happening. from yes. what you're suggesting, right?
Yes. And so when I'm talking about how we respond when we have conflict, that's really important. Mm-hmm. My husband gives me the silent treatment, and that kills me because he puts up a wall and doesn't care. I could be a crazy maniac and he doesn't respond. So I feel like I'm talking to myself. That's very important to know that this is going to happen and I'm going to feel frustrated and I won't feel that I'm getting what it is that I need. But he's doing it because he feels overwhelmed and he doesn't know how to handle it. But that's his problem, really, because a good relationship is going back and forth. So he does that. And when things calm down, when he's able to process it, he goes ahead and follows through. But it's very frustrating for me because I'm a now person. You know, when I have the feelings, when I have the moments is when I really need to go over it. I like to get things done and out of the way and keep moving on. I do not like to hold on to anything because it really keeps you from moving forward. When you have energy that's stored inside you, that's negative, and then we keep processing life, well, that interferes. There's a void. There's something going on that interferes with our decisions later on. And we don't even realize that that is the cause of it. What happened earlier? So then what happens? Conflict occurs for another reason, but really you're pent up because of what happened before. So it's good to get it out of the way. Otherwise, I'll keep looking for stuff to blame him so I could finally get to the pain of trying to process what happened to begin with. So that's a way to eliminate it. Confront it, talk about it, and get rid of it is the best thing to really do when there's any kind of conflict. When you're getting to know the person with their personality types, of what they do when you're in a certain way and why they're doing it will really help. I mean, some people I work with, I've told them just go out of the room, go out of the house, get in the car, leave, whatever it takes when you're being bombarded and attacked. That's different. Being attacked, that person's not working with you. That's a red flag. That person's a narcissist, and that person really cares about getting their needs met. They don't care about what you think. They're not looking to make you feel better, or they're controlling you, or if even people who are jealous, it's not necessarily for your interest, because they will often take away the essence of who you are by not letting you see your friends or your parents or your relatives, and people will say you're acting differently. That's a red flag. So you have to be careful about certain character traits that in the beginning may feel like a compliment, but later on, people who do that try to keep you down so they can feel better about themselves. And that could be a lifetime. You have to be able to acknowledge it, address it, and then either not get involved or not stay one or the other. It's important to know how to protect yourself.
Dr. Frieda, is an emotional prenup legal, or is it a signed document?
So an emotional prenup is similar to the marriage vows. When you have the vows and you're getting married, it's a marriage, it's a certificate along with your marital certificate, and you can read some of it, or if it's too personal, you can say according to our agreement and with our prenup, and that becomes a contract. That becomes a formal contract the couple has, that similar to the marriage contract, that if those vows, if that agreement is broken, then the marriage can be broken. You're not marrying that person who you thought you were. Now, similar to the marital vows, if you agree to make changes to keep the marriage, a deal breaker could be infidelity with a marriage vow. And if you have a partner that you could work together, sometimes you can keep it intact, the relationship. So it's very delicate of how to use this contract, where every few years you have to reassess, or every few years, because we keep evolving, we keep changing. You know, one partner may say, look, you know, I want to have more responsibility over the bank account. women often want more responsibility and men often want less. So that works very well. But sometimes you don't get that combination. And we have to look at it and say, well, this is what makes me more comfortable. And so every time you do that and you keep reassessing, it keeps the marriage tight. Marriages get in trouble when people aren't open about what it is that's bothering them. They think it'll go away, but it keeps coming back. So it can get even better than before, because as you're evolving, you're able to get your needs met in a very safe way, because your partner is going to be more agreeable with you when you're working together. So in the beginning, if you're not following through, you go back to this. So, you know, something's uncomfortable. Something's not working. Why are we arguing so much? Oh, I remember we were supposed to go on vacation. You said we would go every few months and we didn't go. And I'm very frustrated. What happened? So you have that as a marker to work with, back and forth, back and forth. Something where you're beginning to see a problem. And this is a heads up. It's a preventative. It's not when the couple is already feeling damaged and is ready to leave or found another partner or is looking for a divorce. Because at that point in time, there's a lot of baggage. And it's difficult to bring back a fresh new relationship because it does keep coming back. A lot of the concerns when there is conflict do keep coming back. Can't avoid it. So this is very helpful to have this backup. It's a safety net. It's a support system. It's something you're going into and you know that you can count on it. There's no guesses. This guy or this woman is not an alcoholic, is not addicted to drugs, has not been in prison, is not a sex offender. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. Hmm. These people often don't tell the truth. What secrets did you have before? Tell me about it so I don't find out. And then I'm just not able to continue with you. When you tell somebody and you're vulnerable, that's being a human being. When you're not vulnerable, and as you said, you're perfect on your profile, you know, that's, it's not possible. We all have our issues and we're all genuine, and we have to be able to accept our vulnerability and who we are. And that's what makes life beautiful. I mean, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say to you. I'm pretty vulnerable right now, but you know, it's fun to be yourself and to enjoy it. When I spoke to you in the beginning and you told me what are some of the things we're going to talk about, and I said, I'm open to anything you want to say, it's much more fun because then I can think out of the box and I can tell you that relationships are very special. They take work. The work that you're doing with these relationships really evolve, and it keeps getting better all the time, believe it or not. I have patients that come in and say, oh, it's really so good. I'm really happy now. Guess what? It keeps getting better because life is a process. And life, in life, you need to keep growing. That's what makes life worthwhile. And so it's a fun situation when you have somebody to do it with. Loneliness, as I said, can be depressing, clinically depressing. And loneliness is for people who need other people. Being alone is not necessarily loneliness. And by the way, I'm not saying everyone should be married or they won't be happy. I am talking about people who want relationships, and this is how to go about it. But absolutely, there are all kinds of possibilities and choices today with, as I've said, career first, relationship first, family. Today they're having kids before they have relationships, which is much more complicated, and who stays with who. So we're looking at a process today that life, as it is evolving, is giving you options. And to pick somebody who's open and free to make changes and really depicts who you are is very important. Or maybe you're somebody who really doesn't want changes. Maybe you're somebody who's very, very set in their ways of who they are. Now, I married somebody who's pretty conservative compared to me. And when we first met, I was wearing a vest with little whatever beads. I don't remember what they were, and a skirt with it. Well, he was horrified by my outfit. He wasn't going to go out with me again. And I never understood what the big deal was, but very different than me. But then there were other issues and other things that were much more meaningful and deeper. So we have to give that person a chance and work with who you have and be able to process and get into a deeper relationship, because we're too quick. You know, our lifestyles are too fast. We do everything. And even getting into relationships too quickly without stopping and thinking and looking into it. And then, of course, we live together. And when we live together, there's problems, and there's marriage, there's problems. And then we just go on to the next person that we're rooming with and living with. And that's not taken seriously enough either. People live together for 4 years. I mean, I don't know your background, but I'm just saying it takes away. If that's the direction you may not want to go in that direction. When my husband brought me to my parents, I was just turning 22. And my mother said to my husband, "Listen, if you're not serious about my Frida, I'm not interested for you to go out with her anymore." I'm thinking, what? What is going on? Are you kidding me? I just came over just to have a snack. Who knows what? Just to meet. And he got so scared. He said, "Yes, I want to marry your daughter." And I went, "What?" We were both like, are you kidding me? So yeah, so times have changed, but we've swung in the other direction.
Dr. Frida, I was gonna say I look forward to the book, but now I'm looking forward to the movie.
Oh, okay. I am too. We'll both go and watch it together.
That would be a blast. Although I know it's late for you. I'm so glad you stayed up with us.
Listen, I'm just waking up. Are you kidding?
Just
are you
going to
hang up on me?
And we have to end this part of our conversation this time around. But
yes.
It feels like it's really just the start of a wonderful continued conversation. And I do want to remind everybody, this is Dr. Frida Birnbaum that we're talking with. And drfrida.com, drfrieda.com. Now, she has a podcast as well, the Dr. Frida Show, where she's pushing the limits. Find her also on Twitter at Dr. That's spelled out, Dr. Frida. Dr. Frida, thank you so much for sharing. So much to learn from here. I trust it'll be something that people listen to over and over again to get more of what you had to share and hopefully connect with you as well. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Matthew in West Hollywood. I'm grateful for the assistance you have given me in the past, and now I really need some help as I'm exhausted and feel lost and confused by my present circumstances. I need a job and have never really been employed in the past, so I don't have anything to put on a resume. How am I going to get hired by anyone without a resume? I don't have anything to show for the last 30 years of my life regarding employment. I feel like a total failure, and I'm scared for the future as I have not accomplished anything so far. Please advise.
Dear Matthew, you have accomplished a lot more than many people I know. One of your greatest accomplishments is your beautiful daughter, who you have raised by yourself and who is going to one of the most prestigious colleges on a scholarship because of your loving support and the connections you have developed. So please don't lie to yourself about not accomplishing anything. Not only have you raised a wonderful young woman, the help and support you gave and continue to give her friends is outstanding, and you did all of this without a career-type job. You have managed to live in a beautiful home, and you, through your powerful connections, have helped your daughter get an education that has prepared her for admission to one of the hardest colleges to get into. So, dear friend, I encourage you to take a look at all of the good you've accomplished and to give thanks to the universe for your success. And, dear Matthew, even though you have never had a career-type job, you've always worked, and you've always earned enough money to raise your awesome daughter and to furnish her a lovely home. So I encourage you to make a resume of all the key jobs that you have done, and in the resume explain how you were able to help your clients become successful. You could also attach testimonials from these past clients. I believe this would assist prospective employers in seeing your worth. By doing a resume, you will also see how much you have done and feel good about promoting yourself. And now I ask that you pray and meditate, asking the universe to show you your next step. I see even more exciting and rewarding future projects for you. And once you acknowledge your wonderful accomplishments and step out of fear, they will occur. As the divine child of God that you are the power in your world, and you have beautifully demonstrated how powerful Matthew truly is. I look forward to you getting focused and create the amazing future awaiting your acceptance.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, live music with George Karpasitis on the Life Changes Show Online Edition when we come back right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guest is a Los Angeles-based music composer, music producer, singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist best known for his lyrical guitar style. Welcome, George Karpasitis, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, Filippo. Good to be here. Thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to you tonight.
It's our pleasure. Actually, I enjoyed speaking with you earlier. I have to say that what is your heritage?
So I was born and raised on the Mediterranean island of Cyprus. So my heritage is Greek Cypriot. And so growing up there, exposed to the local music of the island, which is Greek as well as Middle Eastern. And at the same time, consuming my dad's audio cassette collection, which included the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Louis Armstrong. So kind of like absorbing all these influences at a young age is what kind of like brought me to where I am today, I guess, in a way.
Well, it's interesting. So I started to say, before I asked you to say that, because when we were speaking earlier and I was listening to your music, and it's very worldly and it has different cultural influences, wonderfully so. And I was thinking that you did grow up with the local culture. So when I asked you what kind of music you grew up with, right away you went into Beatles and Bob Dylan, and I had to laugh. But I'm glad you went on to share the other influences as well.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge them all. And I mean, it's a blessing to have, I mean, these days especially, have access to everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have had an interest in music. You still have an interest in music. One of the things that got me though is that your music is very, it feels like classical, and you described it as film. So please explain.
Yeah. So I grew up, my first steps in, studying music, which I'm not by anywhere close to being done with it, because it's a lifelong journey. But my first steps were with classical guitar. I started taking lessons when I was about 13 years old, and kind of at the time didn't really appreciate that style that much. I continued taking lessons for a few years, but on the side I was kind of like, I bought an electric guitar, I was teaching myself like rock and roll, you know, like grunge music was at the time, I guess.
Nice.
Popular, and kind of like learning those riffs by my own kind of self-teaching, and then joined several bands and over the years, and kind of going deeper into that music and discovering the blues and jazz, and where actually what led to rock and roll was that. That was the roots of it. So going all the way down that rabbit hole, because it's such a huge source. And then later on, I spent some time in London where I studied guitar and studied jazz. And during that time, went really deep that direction. But then coming out of it, I kind of picked up the classical guitar again, and I was like, wow, I really enjoy, this is what I love the most. So kind of came full circle. But after my studies in London, I found an interest in composition. So I spent a year in Spain studying film scoring at Berklee College of Music, has a campus out there. And from there, that led me to where I am now, through an internship to work for a Hollywood composer. Came out here about 8 years ago, and since then I've been kind of active in that world as well, in the film world, which is an interesting place to be, and an inspiring place to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, so George, we're gonna get to hear something special, actually, in the sense that though you've done everything from film scoring and working with orchestras and your classical guitar and all that, you are exploring your voice more. And so you're going to share your voice with us here on the Life Changes Show.
Yes. So I wanted to share, I have been exploring more the vocal side and songwriting. And I recently spent some time in India studying mantra and devotional music, and I would like to share one of those mantras that I'm currently working on recording and producing an album of music that I learned when I was in India.
Wow! So, what is this? Does this piece have a name?
As of now, it's called Shiva Kolibri.
Okay.
So it's a mantra to Lord Shiva, and there's also part of it that talks of the kolibri, this is the hummingbird in Spanish. So,
oh, interesting combination there. Okay. And we're going to get to hear this live online here on the Life Changes Show. Here is George Karpositis and what's currently called Shiva Kolibri.
Shiva Kolibri.
Mm-hmm. Shiva, Shiva, Shambho. Shiva, 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 Shambho. Shiva, 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 Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Om Bolenat, 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 Om Bolenat. Shiva, 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 Shambho. Shiva, Shiva, Shambho. Shiva, 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 Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Mahadeva, Shambho. Bolenat, Bom Bolenat. Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat. En el centro de este fuego baila un colibrí. En el centro de este fuego baila un colibrí. Baila, baila, vuela, vuela, baila un colibrí. Baila, baila, vuela, vuela, baila un colibrí. Tus alas me llevarán. Tus alas me llevarán, tus alas me llevarán a mi madre, tus alas me llevarán a mi padre. Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat, Bom Bolenat. Bombolenat, 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 bombole, 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 bombolenat.
George Capracitas here on the Life Changes Show. Thank you for sharing that with us and sharing it live. If you're liking and want to know more, we have all as many lots of links to George's music and website, et cetera, on our webpage at Life Changes Show. Best to connect with him at Instagram. At George Karpositas Music, and I'll spell that George, and then K-A-R-P-A-S-I-T-I-S Music, George Karpositas Music. It's simple. Am I pronouncing it right, George?
Yes, perfect. Thank you. I know it's not easy. It's not the easiest name to pronounce, so appreciate the efforts.
Oh, it's wonderful, and I love that. That language is important to us, that we want to be able to convey and to speak in those languages. And this is interesting because you say language is music. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so from a very young age, I was fascinated by the music of the world, like traveling. I've traveled extensively, and everywhere I go, I'd want to submerge myself in the culture, in the music, in the food. Normally, those are the things. but yeah, I'm just very, very fascinated by what people listen to across the world, you know, and through that, yeah, it's led me to all these travels and to experience and the interest to learn language, to learn how to speak the language, how to learn the songs. I guess that would lead me to talk about some of my current projects that I'm working on. And I know this is recorded, and so I'll try to make it as future-proof as possible. but I've part of my studies has also been in the Afro-Brazilian world, in the martial art of capoeira. Mm-hmm. For the past 14 years or so, and it's a dance fight that includes drumming, acrobatics, self-defense, also spirituality. It's a spiritual practice at its core, and I'm very blessed to be here in Los Angeles studying with Mestre Amen at the Brazil Cultural Center, and we're actually at the moment in the midst of a play, theatrical play. It's a capoeira musical theater, action musical theater. I'm composing and performing live the music during the play, and it's part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival this month, June 2023. We had our preview show last Saturday, and we'll be playing every weekend until the end of the month. And I'm just going to make just for the future, that we have plans to take this to bigger stage and bigger audiences, and to produce an album of the music that we've been creating for it. So something to look out for.
Well, exciting. And we're going to get to hear another piece from you. But before we do, I wanted to give you a chance to quickly share some of the exciting things that you have also worked on with other people.
Yes. So... yeah, I also produce and record other artists, and I've been very lucky to be amongst incredible talents here in Los Angeles. And I'm currently, I'll share what I'm doing currently is a project with a collective of women. It's called the Golden Sisters Collective. Hmm. And they all speak different languages, and so they've basically taken some traditional songs and translated them to their language.
Wow. And so
on there's Filipino, Arabic, Spanish, Italian, what else? Dutch, English, I think that's about it, and Portuguese also, and Hebrew. These traditional songs, we're working on an EP, a collection of three songs, and that are translated in all these languages, and they're sung. That's an exciting project that I'm looking to complete this summer.
George, we're going to have to stay in touch about that. That sounds like something we'll want to feature on the Life Changes show someday.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure they would love that. Yeah, I'd love to bring them on.
Wonderful. All at once. That would be amazing. There's some power there. I feel it here already.
And we want to give a quick shout out to the talented Aaron Pillman for connecting us.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Aaron. Yeah. Good friend. And very grateful for the connection.
Speaking of powerhouse. Yes. Thank you, Aaron. So good point. Well, let's get to the music. What are we going to get to hear now?
Okay. So I'm going to share an instrumental. A guitar piece from my first album called Sounds of Mar Vista, which I wrote and recorded while I was living there when I first moved to LA about 8 years ago. And this one is called The Witch's Tango.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here is George Karpositas performing live from Sounds of Mar Vista, Witch's mm-hmm. Tango.
Yes. Thank you.
I feel like saying ole. Is that okay?
That would be appropriate.
I want to see it danced. I was having this whole visual in my mind. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, George, for having me.
George Karfacidis. Again, we have all of his links at the Life Changes Show webpage for him. But find him on Instagram, where he posts the most, at George Karfacidis Music. That's George, K-A-R-P-A-S-I-T-I-S, George Karfacidis Music. What a pleasure connecting with you and having you share as you have from the heart here on the Life Changes Show, George.
Likewise. Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. Really, really great to be here. And thank you. I really enjoyed our conversation, really enjoyed playing for you. And thank you. Thank you for everything.
Well, look forward to more music coming from you. In the meantime, a big thank you to George Karfacidis, and a big thank you to our guest once again, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.